1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Liz Landers. The off-year election results are in, and ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce says...
This was a huge night for Democrats, scoring big wins in several races, proving the political potency of the fight for abortion and giving the party a big boost, with the presidential election now just a year away.
It was a victory in Ohio for abortion rights supporters. They voted overwhelmingly in favor of an amendment to the Constitution that will ensure access to abortion. In Virginia, Governor Glenn Youngkin had promised to pass a 15-week abortion ban if Republicans won both houses of the legislature, but Democrats now in control of both houses. Andy Beshear won re-election in Kentucky. He is a Democrat. His opponent, Daniel Cameron, had the support of former President Trump and said this after conceding.
Pray for Governor Beshear and his team and for all of our Commonwealth.
This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Assembly lawmakers are moving forward several bills to roll back affirmative action in higher education. One bill would require financial aid to be need-based and not race-based. Democrat Sheila Stubbs.
You are turning back pages of the history book and closing the gates to higher education for many minority students.
Another bill would set aside spots in the universities of Wisconsin for the state's top high school graduates. Meanwhile, the state Senate has passed several proposed constitutional amendments impacting Wisconsin elections. Non-citizens would be barred from voting in Wisconsin, and private money could not be used to cover election costs. The amendments could go to a statewide referendum as early as next year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW 97.9, the talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. UW Green Bay might be dropping some majors and minors. WLUK-TV reports UWGB could potentially drop economics, environmental policy, and theater as majors. The school sent a letter to all employees informing them of the potential cuts. In the letter, the administration said students who have already selected those subjects as majors would be grandfathered in. The university also says the subjects would be offered as classes, if not majors. UWGB stressed in the letter that this will not cause any layoffs. Green Bay police are looking for someone who shot water pellets at middle schoolers. Police say the suspect hopped out of a car and used an Orbeez gun to shoot the water pellets at students from Edison Middle School during an outdoor Phi-Ed class. No one was hurt. Police are still searching for the suspect. Anyone with helpful information is being asked to contact the Green Bay Police Department. And that's what you need to know. I'm Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than BugTussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, BugTussle has you covered. BugTussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit BugTussle.com to get started. BugTussle, we're out there because you're out there.
It's the Bucks and the Pistons tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Basketball tonight as the Bucks host the Detroit Pistons at Five Serve Forum. Tip-off time at 7 o'clock. College hoops, the Badgers basketball team has a tough challenge when they host number 9th-ranked Tennessee. 8 o'clock Friday night in Madison. NFL, the Packers gearing up for a trip to Pittsburgh this weekend. They face the Steelers Sunday at noon. Baseball, the Brewers front office in Scottsdale for managers' meetings. Owner Mark Antanasio on where the Brewers go from here without Craig Counsell as manager.
We have a commitment to players and our organization, and we have a commitment to winning. And that is for today. It's for tomorrow, it's for next season, and it extends to the next generation, as everyone knows from what we're doing with the stadium financing plan. We're all here because we lost Craig, but I've reflected on this, you know, Craig has lost us, and he's lost our community also. It's really a special place.
That's Mark Antanasio with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast today with scattered rain showers likely. High at 44. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered showers again. Tonight, lows level off around 37. Overcast skies. High at 46. Tomorrow, for Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 41.
The Todd Almost Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Locke as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai broke his hand. And by golly, not the way I thought it would happen, but Braden Locke has become the starting quarterback.
And another finger on the monkey's paw curls.
Where did you get that one?
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
And welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
You know, it was a little rainy on my drive in, but I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Yeah, it was a little rainy, man. But, you know, it's not cold, right? You can kind of deal with that.
Yes, I can deal with the rain.
Yeah. I want to say good morning also to Richland Center, Amory, Oshkosh, Green Bay, Hayward, Racine, La Crosse, Eau Claire, Waukesha, Milwaukee, all of you in the listening audience. Thank you very much for getting up with us and always appreciating the fact that you take the time out to listen. You know, you could do anything, and getting up early in the morning and making your way and turning on the radio is an honor for us. But I want to begin here, Calvin. I couldn't help but notice, man, you aren't tatted up.
That is right.
For those who don't know, you know, that slang expression of being tattooed. I have to tell you, man, you know, I don't have any tattoos. And I think the chances of me at this advanced stage getting tattooed, probably not going to happen. But Calvin, you're a young man, and many young people your age have already been tatted.
Yeah, I have a few friends with tattoos. Most of the people I know with tattoos, they are like on their back or their ribs, not super visible places. But
okay, so not all, they call them sleeves, right? Yeah. Most of your friends don't have sleeves.
No.
So for people who don't know what sleeves are, that's where you're tattooed from your wrist and sometimes even the front of your hand all the way up your arms. And your entire arms are covered with tattoos. I got to tell you, man, some of them look nice.
Yeah, I'm right? A fan of tattoos. I think they're cool looking.
Yeah, some tattoos... and some of them really look nice, but I wonder if people ever thought that having those tattoos, somehow they would be discriminated against. And so this story is in the Salon, news this morning. It says having tattoos is associated with double the odds of being arrested, incarcerated, and not getting a fair opportunity at employment. What I don't understand is, Calvin, a tattoo is your decision, and why should it matter to anybody else's your body, right?
I completely agree with you.
You know, I mean, I don't understand. Well, I've been around a little while, so I do understand that there are people in the society who don't think that people should have the freedoms that God given to them to do what they will. That includes people who have studs in their lips, in their noses, and it may look, and I've heard people say, look at that. Right? You know, people who have studs in their eyebrows. People have a right to their individualism. Is it safe to say that, man?
Yeah, I mean, it's the United States. We should be able to, however you should be able to express yourself if you're not hurting anyone else. And tattoos and piercings certainly don't hurt anyone else.
Well, you know, man, but it matters to many. And apparently, you know, when it comes to arrest and people being convicted, those things seem to matter. And I will say this, man, tattoos aren't just a young person's thing. Man, I see people from my age, and it used to be when I was a young guy, cyclists, motorcycle riders, and people in the military, you know, had tattoos. And those were basically the only people who were bold enough to, you know, wear tattoos. But now it's commonplace for women to have tattoos. And we're only talking about the ones that we can see, because there are many who have been tattooed in many places that we can't see. They're private places. I'm just, you know, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Your thoughts on what is now a phenomenon. You can't watch a basketball game, pro basketball game, Calvin, where the guys aren't tattooed on both arms all the way up. Their entire upper torsos are tattooed. And I know people, you know, the individuality and all those kind of things are why they do it. I don't understand, you know, it. Because once you do it, for the most part, it's there for the duration of your life, especially if you get the sleeves, right? And then there are people who fall in love with somebody and get their names tattooed over their arms and other places, and then they fall out with the person and they're stuck with this tattoo on themselves. Let's go to the phone lines. And Susan from Kenosha, good morning to you, Susan. How you doing? Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Thank you for taking my call, and I listen to you every morning, and I think you do a really stand-up job.
Well, thank you.
I think that people are trying to get away from individualism, and I think that I'm 73.
Oh, okay.
I adore people. I'm from your era.
Yes.
We have a strong desire, us from our era, have a strong, meaningful individualism type of life. And we were the people who went and were strong believers in women's rights. We were civil rights. I walked across a number of bridges in my lifetime. And I think that we're, because of the polarization that we have right now between the red and the blue, people are doing away with individual rights. And they're making decisions on people without really listening to people and without really understanding that there are two views. There are many, multiple views, not just two views in this world, multiple views. And it is individual. I mean, this country great. And I think we have to get back to that.
You know, Susan, you very well said, couldn't have said it any better. you're in my generation is too judgmental. And so, you know, we fail to understand. You and I came through some things ourselves, and our parents, you know, we had our own way of separating ourselves from our parents' generation. And so, but we've forgotten that. And it is not right that you judge a person based on any of these things that we do in this society. And we somehow think that because we don't do it, again, I'm a guy who has no tattoos. I'm not going to get any. My sons have tattoos. And, you know, it's their lives. And so they have a right to that. My issue is the fact that, you know, having those things now, double the odds of being arrested and incarcerated solely for having tattoos. We've got to fix our society, don't we, Susan?
Yes, we do. I think that we have to teach people that they have to know it is the character of the person.
Yes.
Not what they're wearing, not the color of their skin, not where they have come from. And you need to, we need to learn to listen to each other and stop making comments and gestures when someone is speaking. I think that we need to sit quiet. We may not always agree with what a person has to say, but at least give them a chance to say it. At least give them a chance to move into your neighborhood and you learn from them and they learn from you. And you can, you know, to me, this is like this. Right now, we are too polarized. It's either my way or the highway type of mentality. And I really do dislike it a lot.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much for those kind words. Thank you for listening and let somebody else know. I really appreciate your words this morning. Let's go to Jim from Eden. Good morning to you, Jim. Your thoughts, sir?
Yes. Good morning, Earl.
Good morning.
Earl, good morning. Just thinking that you may not be being consistent. If we think back to the COVID vaccine, you know, a couple years
ago. Okay.
Those of us who weren't getting the vaccine, you know, were vilified. And so there, people were concerned about people who made choices to not go along with what was going on. And now you're saying we shouldn't be concerned when people are doing things that are different.
Hey, Jim, can you hang on, man? Because I want to have a dialogue with you. You called, and I want to have a fair account of what I had to say at that point in time and my thoughts on what we're talking about now. Can you hang on a second?
Sure.
All right. You know, the conversation that we're having is clearly about whether or not people being tattooed should experience, you know, double the odds of being arrested and incarcerated. There's a study that points in that direction. We'll be right back.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Small businesses represent the lifeblood of every community. In Wisconsin, small businesses represent 99.4% of all businesses. Their importance to our economy, especially our rural livelihood, cannot be overstated. Entrepreneurs must be innovative and have a growth mindset in order to keep pace. Business owners and employees of small businesses can attend a free presentation by small business expert Fred Hochberg. Hochberg is former head of the Small Business Administration, the Export-Import Bank of the United States, and the Lillian Vernon Corporation. His presentation, Small Business Growth Strategies in Rural Communities, takes place on Wednesday, November 8th at the UW Green Bay Marinette Campus. Hochberg will share ideas for how rural businesses can thrive in today's marketplace. Funding for the presentation comes from the Tommy G. Thompson Center for Public Leadership. For more information on Fred Hochberg's November 8th presentation, Small Business Growth Strategies in Rural Communities, and to register for this free event, visit thompsoncenter.wisc.edu. That's thompsoncenter.wisc.edu.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, I'm having a conversation about, you know, the fact that people who are being tattooed or have been tattooed have double the odds of being arrested and incarcerated, according to the study, one of the latest studies. And Jim was... and thank you for hanging on, was pointing out to me that he thought that I was showing hypocrisy, because when the COVID conversation was going on, I was outspoken about people who weren't being vaccinated. Well, Jim, the difference between, you know, people being vaccinated or people being able to spread a virus that was taking the lives of thousands of people, tens of thousands of people, and someone getting a tattoo, there's no comparison between the two. If whether you get a tattoo or not doesn't impact any other people, whether or not you take a COVID vaccination during the heat of a pandemic is another thing altogether. You say what, sir?
Well, I mean, it ultimately didn't affect. I mean, here we are. We're all the same. You know, 2 years later, we're still, you know, those who got vaccinated and those who didn't. We're still, life is going on, and we don't see any impact that that made.
No, sir, I don't think you can make the statement, but you certainly can't back it up with facts that whether or not people got vaccinations or whether or not they did, that there was no difference between the two. There clearly is a difference. Right now, COVID is spreading around our nation. We're just getting into that season, and we're going to be able to find out now more so than ever, because this time around there aren't the government's not providing free vaccinations. Those vaccinations can run into the $130-$140. So the elderly like myself will be able to get those vaccinations for free, but people who aren't insured will not get those vaccinations. And we will find out whether or not it matters, because, you know, there's going to be a lot of COVID. And if people aren't vaccinated, we're going to see the impact of it.
Yeah, I just go by my body, my choice. You know, at that time, that's what I was. You know, I had a sign in my yard.
I know, but sir, if we live on the planet collectively, and so, and this is one of the problems that I have with the mentality of my decision alone, as if we somehow live in a bubble and there are no other people on the planet. We all can say we're going to make individual decisions about everything, and the rest of the people be damned. But what kind of society are we living in with that kind of mentality?
So that's where you draw the line, that when it came to medical, then it's not my body, my choice. But like a tattoo, there you can hold to that. You see, where do we draw the line?
Again, a tattoo doesn't affect anyone else but you yourself. You know, if there's a pandemic and we were right in the heart of a pandemic where we saw all those people dying, sir, and so to say, well, you know, my body, my decision, and knowing that this thing was spreading, I don't see a correlation between an individual decision on a tattoo and, again, the decision to get vaccinated to try to control a virus that was causing the mayhem that it was causing.
Okay. So that's, you know, that's where you draw the line. And that's what I'm saying, you know, in the Constitution, or, you know, where does the medical situation, you know, rise to that level that you can never make your own individual choice?
Oh, so, sir, let me try it this way. I don't know how old you are, but as a young boy, we wound up getting tuberculosis shots, vaccinations. As children, there were five or six different shots that we had to take as babies. And so people weren't given the decision to make on those things because we knew at the time the impact of that spreading was having on the society. So the decision was made for what's in the best interest of the society as opposed to individuals, that it was best for the society. It's easy for all of us, again, sir, to separate ourselves and not look at your neighbor and, you know, and not look at your neighbor as yourself. Not to want for yourself, your neighbor, what you want for yourself. And so it's part of the problem that we have in the society that people are willing to just say me, I, and not do what's in the best interest of all of us. We, as opposed to I.
Yeah, I just made an individual choice, you know, at that time, you know, to not do it. But you're saying that I negatively affected society by making that choice.
Sir, I'm not saying you as an individual, you know, because there are many others like you who did the exact same thing. Multiply all of the I's as opposed to the we's, and then we wound up where we were with a pandemic that lasted as long as it did, that took so many lives. And that's all I'm saying, sir. We have to look beyond ourselves. You know, we don't live on an island. If you lived on an island by yourself, I would say, yeah, right, because it's just you. But you interact with other people, you and others, who made those decisions.
I have nothing against anybody who gets tattoos.
Sir, thank you very much for the call. I really do appreciate it. But I will tell you that that is part of what we're fighting right now in the society. That kind of belief that it's me. We got to get beyond that. Got to go to we'll be right back. We'll be right back. California.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's top elections official appears to be safe in her position for now. That's according to State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. A conservative group in southeast Wisconsin is mounting a pressure campaign against the state's most powerful Republican, but Voss tells reporters that an impeachment vote against Wolf is unlikely anytime soon. A Dane County judge has ruled Wolf stays until a court ruling on her status. The Waukesha School District wants a federal court to dismiss a lawsuit filed by a former teacher who was fired earlier this year. Melissa Temple lost her job as a first grade teacher in July. She claims the district retaliated against her for speaking out on social media about the song Rainbow Land being cut from a first grade concert. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Pete Schwabe. A Green Bay drug dealer known internationally as Uncle Fester has been ordered to stand trial. 65-year-old Stephen Priestler will stand trial on 11 charges in Brown County starting on January 5th. His home was raided last July, where authorities found meth and cocaine as well as drug manufacturing equipment. The city of Green Bay is trying to take possession of the home, which has been labeled a public nuisance. If you like to hunt but aren't crazy about the taste of venison, you can help a good cause. Civic Media's Melissa Kay has more.
You can donate your deer through the DNR's Deer Donation Program. Since 2000, hunters have donated 98,000 deer, totaling over 3.9 million pounds of venison, to help stock food pantries throughout the state. There's a few steps to the program if you're donating, or you can make a monetary donation through your Go Wild account. The donated venison helps individuals in local communities facing food insecurity.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The delusions of grandeur have come to an end, as has the campaign of former Vice President Mike Pence. You know, people didn't care for him so much. I don't know why. You know, January 6th, they just wanted to hang him at the gallows, Dom.
I mean, at least they knew his name. You know, there's no such thing as bad PR, Crudy.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's the Bucks and the Pistons tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Basketball tonight as the Bucks host the Detroit Pistons at Fiserv Forum. Tip-off time at 7 o'clock. College hoops, the Badgers basketball team has a tough challenge when they host number 9th-ranked Tennessee, 8 o'clock Friday night in Madison. NFL, the Packers gearing up for a trip to Pittsburgh this weekend. They face the Steelers Sunday at noon. Baseball, the Brewers front office in Scottsdale for managers' meetings. Owner Mark Antanasio on where the Brewers go from here without Craig Counsell as manager.
We have a commitment to players and our organization, and we have a commitment to winning. And that is for today. It's for tomorrow, it's for next season, and it extends to the next generation, as everyone knows from what we're doing with the stadium financing plan. We're all here because we lost Craig, but I've reflected on this. You know, Craig has lost us, and he's lost our community also. It's really a special place.
That's Mark Antanasio with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast today with scattered rain showers likely. High at 44. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered showers again. Tonight, lows level off around 37. Overcast skies. High at 46. Tomorrow, for Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 41.
Matt Flynn Direct.
When it comes to shutting down the government, what I'm afraid is Mike Johnson comes in, he'll say, real smooth, I don't want to shut down the government. Here's a budget. And you'll go, hey, wait a minute. That has cuts in child care, Social Security. And he'll smile. He's sort of like Scott Walker. People who are unnervingly polite behind that kind of facade, they have a lot of inner weasels. They have too many inner weasels, quite frankly.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekdays from 2 until 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. UK.
all hell I said, hey boy, you better bring a check around. To the sad, sad truth, the dirty Lord down.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I want to go back quickly before we go to the phone lines with what I talked about the first half an hour, and that was, you know, people being tattooed and why there should be an issue with that if people make a decision that that's what they want to do. They shouldn't have to pay a price for that. There's something wrong with a society that judges people based on those kinds of things. And the guy who we just had on, really nice man. There's no question he's a thoughtful guy, and I want to thank him for calling and sharing his view. But I think these are parts of the breakdown in our society that we have not been able to repair or fix. And before I go to the phone lines, here's another one. A Tennessee Republican argues federal funds to feed school children. Now again, to feed school children should be performance tested. A Tennessee Republican state lawmaker is arguing federal funds to feed school children from low-income families should not be accepted unless it can be proven that the program will increase test scores. Just something, there's a breakdown in our society that doesn't seem that we can repair. Because when you can't see anything beyond yourself, we've kind of lost the term and understanding what a society and collectiveness means. And so once you lose that, and generationally you keep losing that, the long-term damage to our society will be irreversible. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. How you doing, man? What do you say?
Well, good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. And I think in the elections last night, people are showing that more and more and showing up. And, we've just got to work hard and not believe these polls that come out and those types of things. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, we have the iPhone. We have me. Everything is I instead of we and us. The United States stands for us. And just to reply back to the gentleman that you were talking with, seems like a really great guy, actually.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
But what I find interesting is that the pandemic is very similar to like smoking, where if you're somebody, as an example, that wants to do I'm trying to think of the drug, but where you're basically sticking yourself with a needle and getting high.
Yeah,
heroin, right? You're not inflicting that on anybody else. When you smoke, as everyone knows, and I think even conservatives can agree to this since they got smoking out of bars, all of a sudden bars are a lot more, a better place to be where you don't come home and your clothes smell like smoke and all of that kind of things.
Have you been exposed to the carcinogens of somebody else's decision to smoke.
Exactly. So what you do to your own body, do to your own body. But when that affects other people, that's when it affects society. And that's where, someone has to step in. But smoking is very similar to what COVID was. It's a virus that could actually be given to other people. And, half a million people or more died from that virus, or from that disease. And, and that lays at the feet of the current occupant of the White House when he said that there was no, virus. But I don't want to get to politics. All I want to do is say that, you know, the great thing is that, you know, if the more that we come together as a society, the more that we actually follow in the footsteps of the real Jesus Christ and Matthew 15, you know, or any other leaders from other religions, we'll actually be better off and we'll be in a better place rather than just all this.
Hey Tom, well said, man. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. You say what?
Well, I say if whatever person wants to do to their body is their own business, as long as it doesn't interfere with me. But the thing about the school lunches, I just find that so disgusting. Like the guy that was over, the superintendent in Manitowoc, who got so much backlash from the residents over there that he reinstated the free school lunch programs. But I'm like, when you're going to start taking this out, whatever anger you have in you, on children and not feeding children and making excuses for that, I think that is just the most vile and evil kind of humanity on the face of the planet.
You know, Cindy, I don't understand what it is in a man's mind that they want to argue that we can't use federal funds to feed poor children unless their tests somehow are performance tested to see that they're going to be doing better on their tests. So, okay, that's the criteria before we can give you food. I mean, what is that?
Earl, that's been proven. That's something that's been proven over the years, that children do better when they've had a meal, for God's sakes. And the thing is, you know, we use federal dollars to feed our legislators. It's called a per diem.
Yes.
I mean, really?
Yeah, you know, the fact that people elect these people, and really they should monitor them. Because when your representative presents those kinds of things, they kind of represent you, right?
Yep.
I mean, you voted for them, and so they're representing you. That's what it is—a representative government. You know, so when a person, Representative John Reagan, who is the guy who came out with this crazy idea, goes out publicly and says those things, he's representing you. And so they need to do the best that they can. That guy should be, you know, recalled. That guy certainly should not be able to walk around thinking that he's done something great. He's actually done something shameful, and he ought to be ashamed of himself. But people are doing these things more and more today, Cindy, and we live in a crueler world than we once did.
Well, that's for sure, and it's a very sad thing.
Hey, thank you. I really appreciate it. So, GOP Representative John Reagan, who has a history of targeting school students from low-income households, told the legislature's Joint Working Group on Federal Education Funding he was concerned about tying ourselves to the federal government, and inquired about the amount of waste in the federal programs, according to a video clip posted by the Tennessee Holler. The working group's purpose is to determine how the state of Tennessee can reject $1.8 billion in federal education funds. Calvin, its focus is, and the group's focus is, how they can reject $1.8 billion of federal education funds in the state of Tennessee. You see anything wrong with that?
Yeah, education should be a focus for every state, but I think this is really reminiscent of Wisconsin and Scott Walker's era of Republicans denying federal money for certain things
like healthcare.
Yeah. The train system. For whatever reason, Republican states have this rejection of anything coming from the federal government, and it's often at the detriment of their state.
Well, you know, Calvin, it's not any and everything, because there are things that they accept from the federal government. It's just those things that are directed towards the people who struggle in the society the most. And this is an embarrassment for the state of Tennessee, It clearly is an embarrassment for those in the House in Tennessee that accept this. The selfishness of a society as opposed to the selflessness of a society is where we are, and we can't seem to get around those things. And so we are slowly moving away from a society, and individualism is what's at the root of all of it. And, you know, Calvin, I made it. And so I made it, and nobody gave me any help. Everybody else should be able to make it. I mean, that kind of mentality is what is blinding our nation, and we got to work hard to try to, you know, correct that. Because I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times, children should not be used as pawns. They don't pick their families. And so the fact that people are willing to use them as pawns in a society just kind of shows, you know, how far we've sunk as a society. And all of us, I don't care who you are, should be fighting to make sure that young people and children get whatever it is they need to become strong adults and to be able to become adults that can lead this society into different generations. And so there's a future, because the people before us did that, and the people before them did it. And the fact that my generation and the generation after mine has taken a completely different direction in this is what's at the root of all of these problems. Representative Reagan also claimed, if we are tying ourselves to the federal government by accepting their money to do this thing, then it would seem to me that we as a state should be looking for the improvements that this money is purportedly going to make. Hey, sir, Representative Reagan, if we are tying ourselves to the federal government, you know, you are part of the government because you live in a different state and you don't have the capacity to understand that all states are tied into the federal government. What do you think? You're on a different planet? You think Tennessee and the beliefs of the Tennessean people somehow are different than the rest of the American people? And this goes back to the young man we had on earlier who was talking about his own individual rights. You know, when individuals start thinking that way, that's one thing, but when people who run states look at it from that perspective, it's an altogether different thing, and it puts us where we are now. We've got to go for a cup and pay some bills. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789 is the number. Be right back.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Small businesses represent the lifeblood of every community. In Wisconsin, small businesses represent 99.4% of all businesses. Their importance to our economy, especially our rural livelihood, cannot be overstated. Entrepreneurs must be innovative and have a growth mindset in order to keep pace. Business owners and employees of small businesses can attend a free presentation by small business expert Fred Hochberg. Hochberg is former head of the Small Business Administration, the Export-Import Bank of the United States, and the Lillian Vernon Corporation. His presentation, Small Business Growth Strategies in Rural Communities, takes place on Wednesday, November 8th at the UW Green Bay Marinette Campus. Hochberg will share ideas for how rural businesses can thrive in today's marketplace. Funding for the presentation comes from the Tommy G. Thompson Center for Public Leadership. For more information on Fred Hochberg's November 8th presentation, Small Business Growth Strategies in Rural Communities, and to register for this free event, visit thompsoncenter.wisc.edu. That's thompsoncenter.wisc.edu.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I wanted to talk now a little bit about another phenomena in our nation that doesn't get enough attention, that is certainly getting worse by the day. And this is a money issue, and it's as most things are in our country. And if they're money issues, then they can be fixed. If the issues, burning issues of the day, are money, and we live in America, then there shouldn't be any problems whatsoever, because there's plenty of money in our nation. If it wasn't for my boyfriend, I'd probably be homeless. Seniors face rising debt issues. Everybody, I have to say to you, I don't believe I'm going to be 70 years old, man. I really just do not believe that it went that fast. And that now, I'm on Social Security and Medicare, and facing the latter part of my life. And I've been fortunate in my life. I'm not a wealthy man by any stretch of the imagination. I own one property. I don't have, own a lot of T-bills, treasury bills. I own very little. And so I haven't been able to amass fortunes. But I'm not alone. The majority of the people who've aged in this society don't have those things. And so we're at a crossroads in the society. I'm fortunate. I'm still working. Most people 70 years old, if they're working, they're working at a place, Walmart, or not to diminish that, but they're doing those things because they clearly need some financial support. There are some who are certainly doing that because it keeps them active, and that's the way it used to be, that people would choose to do that in their elder years. But now people are doing it because they have no choice. Elder debt has risen for decades. Among Americans 75 and older, 53% carry debt in 2022, compared with 21% in 1989. Let me repeat that again. Elder debt in Americans 75 and older, 53%. 75 or older, carry major debt. And you contrast that, you know, in 2022, with 21, it's 21% in 1989, less than half. So something has happened. What do you think has happened from 1989 to 2022 that so many elders now carry all this debt? Well, clearly, the pay structure in the nation has changed dramatically. And so people struggle. Among people ages 65 to 74, their share with debt rose from 50% in 1989 to 65% in 2022. More older Americans are carrying debt across a broad range of categories: mortgage debt, home equity lines of credit, car loan debt, credit card debt, and student loan debt. That's not a recipe for a strong and healthy nation when the elders in the nation are in so much debt. That's not the way it is in other nations like ours. These are all things we should be working on, but we can't get there because the conversation is about, you know, whether Johnny can have, you know, a sex change. And so those are the things we want to focus on, or what's in the library of the students, of the children. Things that really don't matter in the overall picture of things. Shouldn't the priorities be the fact that 65%, you know, of people ages 65 to 74 are carrying 65% debt? Let's go quickly to Eric from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Eric. Hello, you say what?
Good morning. There's a saying I always say. I picked up, you know, being a small business owner for a few years, whatever, is that, and doing my own marketing. This is what it's from, is anytime any company is marketing to you, it's not for your benefit. And so to connect this to what you're talking about, what this tells me, you ask why, is that the marketing campaigns and the easy credit
directed at the elders.
Credit cards,
yes,
has worked because I watched my own father go through credit. He had issues, health issues, and couldn't work for a while. And so he kind of had some trouble with money and started using credit cards to pay for things. And while he was having a hard time paying that back, because he was a credit customer, he kept getting more offers and
right.
more offers and more offers. So this is what I believe it is that, you know, those back in 89, I think you said it was,
yes.
75, they were born in like 19, the teens, 20s, 30s. Credit cards weren't available. They've been available the last 50, 60, 70 years. And sure enough, the advertising has worked.
Hey, Eric, I wish I had more time, man, but you're always right on point. Really appreciate it. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Executive Director of Citizen Action, Dr. Robert Craig. Be right back.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. The talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Dixon Gun Shop in Nacoosa salutes America's troops and veterans for all the sacrifices they've made. We honor all who have given their lives because we live in the land of the free only because of the brave, our troops and veterans. We salute you. You are our heroes. May God bless you and may God bless America. A message from Dixon Gun Shop on Market Street in Nacoosa, where their customers send their friends. Drop by or give them a call at 715-886-4867. Dixon Gun Shop in Nacoosa is saluting those who make our country stronger.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.